as we were singing that, it just really spoke to me also. And I think it's, when I do weddings, if people come to me for marriage, if I can't talk them out of it, what I do with them, I say, okay, and we talk. I say, now I want you, the groom, I want you to write a letter to your bride. I want you to describe how you love her and why you want to marry her. And I ask the bride to write a letter to the groom, describing the same thing, the events that's in their heart for that day. And then they give me the letter. They're sealed up. They don't read each other. They seal them up. And one is addressed to the groom, one is addressed to the bride. And then I put it with the copy of my license that I keep from them. And I put it in my safe at home. And I tell them, now listen, if a time ever comes and you're ready to throw in the towel, come see me. Come see me. Why? Because we're going to sit down, open these letters up, and we're going to read them. Okay? We're going to see if we rekindle. Because life can get busy. Folks, if you've ever been married, I'm telling you, of course, Carol won't say this, but it can be tough. You know what I mean? Up and down. Amen? It can be really... really difficult. It is. Marriage is alive, and sometimes you're on top of the hill and married, and the other thing, they want to bury you at the bottom of the hill, you know. But that's just the way it is. But when we get those letters out and start reading these love letters, it'll take people back where they first begun. Oh, yes, I remember this, I remember that. And sometimes they realize that a lot of stuff that's got them separated doesn't mean anything. It takes them back. It's kind of like it says here, put his light my fire, okay? And so today when we were singing that to the Lord, oh Lord, please light my fire that once burned bright and clear. Replace the lamp of my first love that burns with holy fear. He said, okay, God, come on, please, God, catch me on fire again. But see, he's already done that. These are his love letters to us. So, I mean, if you find yourself getting burned out, you find yourself, man, I wish I was way I was 5 years ago, for the Lord 10 years, whatever. We all go through cycles, amen? How do you light that fire again? Get back in here. Say, Lord, please. God, light my fire once again. God, get it burning my bones again. That you're all I need. You're all I want. That you're all my all. And I'm telling you, that's how he lights it again. And when you start reading that, and man, it'll rekindle it. It's like that little flame. It'll go bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's how it goes. Next thing you know, you're going to be on fire for the Lord all over again. And we all got to blow on the flames once in a while, don't we? Or am I the only one? But we do, you know. We just got to... doesn't mean we don't love the Lord. Doesn't mean he doesn't love us. It's just we can find ourselves... distracted. What's that?
Distracted.
Distracted, yeah. Just distracted. And, you know, I mean, you think... You get up and you think... Oh, okay, tomorrow's Monday, a new week. All right, I'll get up in the morning, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. I got time in the Word, I'm going to do all this. And you get in the Monday morning, next thing you know, the snow came, you're going to run up, wait, late for work, so you start shoveling. And next thing you know, you're in the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the end of the week already. Oh, my. But Monday, I'm going to do it again, you know, spend more time with the Lord. Well, don't ever give up. Amen? You know, but the distractions will keep that burning sensation in our heart. And if you try to read the Bible in the morning when you first get started, or pray first thing in the morning, which is awesome, but you always find yourself falling short of that, okay, start praying at nighttime. Amen? Pray at nighttime for the day that's coming. Amen? Vicki, yes?
I just opened the Bible, as you start, just open it, and what popped right out, it's in Luke 11, uh-huh. Before your whole body is full of light and no part is in the dark, the light of the lamp shines on you.
The light of the lamp shines on you.
Yeah, amen. And how does the lamp shine on us?
No,
yes, through the Word, yeah. Yeah, it's just, you know, we have a heart for Him. He has a heart for us, remember that. And like we just said, like Bonnie, we just testified, marriage isn't always easy. Amen? Again, amen?
Yes.
Amen. But it's something you work with. Yeah, if you have a desire, I mean, most of the time you can work things out. Sometimes you can't. Folks, that's just the way it is. I understand that. You can't. But again, if we have a desire for the Lord, and He considers us, like Carol said earlier, we're His bride. Wow, that's awesome. And we're going to work things out with the groom. Normally, it's never him that's doing anything wrong. There's one guy, if I can call him a guy, that has never done anything wrong. Okay? He's always right. And the bride is the one that has to come around his way of thinking. And he does it through here. So I just want to encourage you today, man. If you want to get back on fire for the Lord again, just go back in the Word. Yes, Bonnie, go ahead.
I just thought a little thing says, it takes two people to argue. Mm-hmm.
Oh, did he? Well, also the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. And sometimes it is walking away, or sometimes, even though when you're right, it's keeping your mouth closed, maybe, until the time we can sit down and discuss things properly, you know. I learned that in a marriage a long time ago, you know. We all get frustrated, okay? And the last thing you want to do is try to discuss things when you're fired up, okay? Let's take a break, a cup of coffee, and we'll come back. And sometimes you come back to discuss it, and you can't remember what it was. So you get in an argument what it was. No, but just, yeah, and that's with God. I mean, God's the same way. We get aggravated with God at times. He's a big God, okay? He's still there for us. We don't understand things. You know, I had a lady call me this week, and during a conversation, she said, I know we're not supposed to question God, but I said, show me that in Scriptures. The Bible says let's come and reason together. He wants you to question, you know, God, why did this? That's how we learn. And so don't be afraid to ask the Lord. And in the Scriptures here is our guiding, guides us in everything, you know. But today we're looking at, I'm losing weight again, my watch is falling around. Well, I just lost my paper. Oh, there it is. COVID. Carol called it COVID fog or something like that. So there's some good things that came out from having it. You get a lot of excuses that way, you know. But we're looking at the Word of God today. We started looking at Friday night again. Hearing His words and understanding His word more and more. And I know when I talk to people, I say, you know, who believe that God's a healer? And we all say, yes, God heals. Jesus heals. Yes, Jesus heals. Okay. Which is an awesome thing to believe in that. But we have to take it from believing it to doing what His Word says. And Psalms 107:20, where we were plowing the other night. We're going to plow there a little bit this morning and a couple of the verses here before we really have to get out there and start plowing. But His Word is so powerful. It really, really is. And in Psalms 107:20, He says, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Wow. He sent His Word. Now, first of all, we all remember that Jesus is the living Word of God, right? And he is a living... It's God's Word come to life. So if we want to know what God's like, we look at Jesus' life here on earth. We've seen His compassion. We've seen everything, okay? And so He sent His Word, which is Jesus, to heal them. But Jesus is the living Word. So inside the pages, if you have a Bible, whether it's on your phone, it's in your hands, or in your head, this is what heals us. Okay, the spoken Word of God, okay? And not the pages itself, you know, but the Word itself. Hey, think of that. Think of that. The more that you hear the Word of God, the more you believe it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So if it's faith that activates the Word of God, if it's faith is what causes the Word to come to life, what should we be doing more and more and more? Hearing the Word of God, studying the Word of God, being in the Word of God, absorbing this Word of God to build our faith. You know? Well, you say, well, I don't really need any right now. Good. Do it for me. Amen? Amen. We do for each other. Okay? Firemen, you know, deputy, we didn't do it quite as much. Firemen are built, most of them are. You know what I'm saying? They don't do it for themselves. They do it for us. I mean, can you imagine it? I'm sorry, I get my back here, but yeah. Can you imagine a discipline it would take to be a fireman? Well, folks, I don't have it. I mean, lingo. Oh, we're lifting weights. I'm telling you what, 24 hours a day. I mean, that's what they do. They do that for us. But at the same time, they're strengthened for themselves. Think of that. And that's the way the Word of God is for us. He sent His Word to bring healing to us. And we're not just talking about physical healing. It's emotional healing, all type of healing. Okay? And the main healing He sent His Word for, to reconnect with God. To the forgiveness of our sins. So, you know, a lot of times we won't do things for ourselves. We'll put things off for the next day, right? Very easy. Households, you know, I've got a door I've been working on for how many months? I'm just trying to get the door to close. Okay? I've been working on it. I mean, come on. My tools are still out there. Very simple project. I might get it done this year. I'm not sure. Okay? But Kenny call me and say, hey, Stark, I need help hanging a door today. I'd be right there. Okay? Amen. Kenny be the same way, wouldn't you, Kenny? It seems like... Yeah, and you think, okay, wow, we do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's the same way, same attitude when we say, oh man, I don't want to read the Word of God today. I just want to, oh, I just want to take a break. But we think, wait, what am I going to get in this morning? What am I going to encounter today? Who am I going to come across at the doctor's office? Depending, like you were saying earlier, okay? Or who may I be standing behind somebody in line that's going to need financial help today? And so by being in the Word, my spirit will be alert, and I'll say, oh man, this is a God moment, and I'll be able to help them out. But in absorbing this Word, He sent His Word, right here, He sent His Word to heal us, to make us whole, to make us into His image. And wow, and that's the desire of all of us, to be in the image of the living God. Amen? At least I hope it is. And then we look at... I'm going to jump over here. I think I'm going to go to Corinthians next. But He sent His Word to heal us. Then we look at... what's that?
My Bible was open to the second
page. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. So again, what God is showing us today, you know, as we believe that He's our conqueror, He's our provider, He's our protector, He's our healer, He's everything in us. He's saying, that's who I am, now this is how you plug into this. This is how this becomes real. Okay? I was thinking earlier that I'm going to take, let's say I'm going to start working out in the gym 3 days a week. Jason, give me a break, okay? Okay? And so Bob Donnelly comes out on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, picks me up at 9 o'clock, takes me down to Kids America, drops me off, okay? I get my gym shorts on and stuff, you know? I walk in there, boom, and he goes, does what he has to do, and he comes back an hour later to pick me up. And I do that for like a couple months. And Bob notices there's no change in Starkey. You know what I'm saying? I might be a little more giddier, but in fact, I'm getting bigger clothing. Now, I thought that gym was to work out for you. Well, then he finds out what I do. I like getting dressed up, you know, like you're a weightlifter or whatever. And he drops me off. I go there, I sit down, and I drink my pineapple juice. I watch everybody else working out. Wow. And man, look at the size of the muscles on him. Man, look at Rick, look at Bull. And then I get 10 o'clock and I go back home. And I do that, I constantly do that. You know, I'm right where I need to be at if I want it, okay? But the thing of it is, I'm not participating in that. In fact, a while, Bob was like, man, I'm not going to join that gym. Circuit looks worse now than he did 3 months ago, okay? Well, with the Word of God, it's like, it's the same thing that... Here's His Word. We can read that Word, but we need to, when I say get into the Word, it needs to get into us to we know that this is what it says, and this is what we're going to do. We're not going to change it. Okay? And the thing He's saying is the spoken Word of God. Think of the spoken Word of God. We're talking about your temple earlier. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so the Spirit of God lives in you. You know, this is His Word. And when we speak His Word, man, it's just like He's speaking Himself. Isn't that awesome? It says in Hebrews, it says, verse 12 of 4, it says, For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both the joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. For the word of God is living and active and sharper. I won't step on you. I know. I saw you coming. For the word of God is living. It's alive and active. Well, how does his voice, how does his word become alive? You speak it. Amen? You speak the word of God. I mean, what are you into right now? What are you getting wrapped up into right now? And they, boy, you just need a touch of the Lord. It's in his word. Find that scripture. Find that something you can stand on. Woo! And to speak it out. And I'm telling you, as you speak out, listen to it. And it will penetrate your body. Even it says down to the marrow of your bone. Folks, that's a life canal for us. You know that bone marrow? You know, a lot of us think the marrow is just a good thing on a pig to eat, you know, inside that bone. Mm. But no, that's life. You know, cleansing. He says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. Of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You know, yesterday, my missus started getting down. You wasn't feeling good, was you, Carol? I mean, just nausea. Wow. And what did I do? Went over and laid hands on her. Amen? And she got the Word of God in her. She knows, you know the Word of God, don't you? But when we come over and I lay hands on her in the name of Yeshua, name of Jesus, I speak healing to her life. I just cast down this virus, this attack against her body, declare that no weapon formed against her is going to prosper. To be raised up and restored to health in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Wow. That's his spoken word. I'm just speaking out what he's already said to us, right? And he said that to you, did he not? It is. We're under the same covenant, aren't we not? The word of God is the same. I hold the same word right here that you have in your hands. Might be a different translation, but it's the same thing. The spoken word.
And last night, I spoke, before I went to bed, I said, if you remember, I said, tomorrow morning when I wake up, I am going to feel fine.
Amen.
I'm going to be good.
Yep.
I won't.
And here you are, declaring it, you know. I can't quote it exactly right now, it's lost in my mind, but it's not going by what you see, but what the Word of God says, you know. You know, if you're sick and somebody's praying for you, and say, oh, how you feeling now? Find something that you're doing better on. Hey, I breathe a little bit better. Okay, speak that out, okay? His word is active. Wow, never lie about how you, what your medical condition is, but speak God's word out what he says that will take place in our life. Amen? But it's sharper than a two-edged sword. If Kenny, you're my focal point today. Kenny, I was going to fight today on guard, okay? And he came at me with a sword. A toothpick wouldn't do me any good, would it? I'd grab my sword, make sure it was a two-edged sword, and I could defend myself if I learned how to use it properly. Amen? Yeah, well, that's the way the Word of God is, to use it. And the way we use this, we have a heart desire to know how to use it, that we want to do that. That it consumes us. Oh, my. You know, I remember a couple of years ago, guys, I was on the keto diet. You all remember that? Yes, yes. And some of you guys come to me and say, I want to see more of you, okay, Pastor? So I got off the diet, but what, 28 pounds back on. But I got on the keto diet. And that was it. I had no sugar. We even got sugarless ketchup at home. Yes, amen, did we not? Oh, we would not even go down to Con's potato chip factory in Zanesville, no way. 18 months, dropped 52 pounds. My eyes were set on, I felt fantastic. Man. And then, as an excuse, well, they call it the pandemic. Don't quite understand it yet.
Comfort food.
Comfort food. I thought, well, this pandemic, the bad it says it is, I'm going to enjoy myself till I go. Now here I am again, ready to get back on that again. But again, it was just, it became a way of our life. Didn't it, Carol? A way of life. If we go out to eat somewhere, we go out and get a hamburger,
no bun.
Yes, no ketchup. Should bring my own little sugar packet. What's that? No ketchup?
no fun, no nothing like that, with everything on the plane.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. Because one of our worst enemies, our body, is sugar. And starch, it really is. What do we enjoy the most? Sugar, okay? But got on to that and became, after a couple of months, it was a way of life. Worked in the ministry here, folks, and we get 1,000 donuts a week, probably. Walked right past them. No problem. But it took me a while to get in that zone, amen? It's the same way here. We have to, oh man, Lord, light my fire again. I'm going to catch more on fire for you. I'm a burning bush right now. I'm going to be a burning hillside or whatever. It's certain consume him. Say, hey, this is my time with the Lord at this time in the day, and do whatever we can to protect that time. Not always can you do that. But man, once you start into it, you know, within 21 days, it takes 21 days to make something be a habit. You know that? Well, 21 days, either break a habit or start a habit. And so what an awesome thing to climb into this and say, oh, I'm going to be different this year. I'm going to do different. Why? Well, have we went to Isaiah yet?
No.
Let's go to Isaiah 55. It's funny because the more I talk, the more I see it snow, the faster I talk. Yeah, I know. Yeah, 55 verse 10. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without... Yeah. As the rain and snow come down... You're funny, Lord. Yes. Come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bare and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Wow. So he said, my word will not return to me without accomplishing what I want it to do. Like right now, that snow's coming down, and we got to be careful. That snow is in the process of watering, understand that. You know, and it's going to fill up our reservoirs and our cisterns and whatever we use, and it's going to provide water out west, and the water flows out west to a degree. An awesome thing. It's going to do exactly what God purposes to do, and that's sustain our life. Amen? If it didn't snow, if it didn't rain, how long would we last? You know, not very long. You know, our wells and stuff would dry up. And so, what's that? Right, yeah, it would just, I mean, we cannot live without water. We need that water. I'm telling you, I'm the worst one at drinking water. You know, I might drink maybe 6 ounces a day. I mean, that's terrible. I should have at least 80 ounces a day for my size of my body. 80, and that makes your whole body function. Think that. You know, we're all getting older, right? Josh might not be, but Ryan, okay? But, hey, we all like to have a good movement in the morning, don't we? Amen. It's water that helps to do that. Understand that. It takes water to, yes. And so we want to consume that water. We need that water for life and have the life the way God wants to give it to us. It's the same thing here. It's His Word. His Word, spoken Word. How do we turn His Word to Him? By speaking it out. He says, I gave you my word. You got it right in your hand right now. He says, okay, it will not return back to me. How are we going to return the word of God to him? We're going, hey, God, catch, here comes the Bible. No, we're going to speak that word out. But we're going to speak it out in faith. Why? Because we concentrate on the word. Our faith is growing, and we know that his word is true. So when I speak out his word, in whatever situation I'm going through, I know it will do exactly what I intended to do. I have faith in that. And I stand on that. Now, right now, you look at the snow out there, you think, oh, wow, we should get rid of that stuff, quit snowing, okay? But we got to see in our minds, we're saying, oh, I can see July tomatoes growing pretty good. I see the sweet corn. I see the cattle grazing, okay? So we have to say, okay, we need this in order for it to have that. Same way the Word of God, we got to get that point in life. Yes, this is true. He spoke this. I might not see it materializing right now, but I have to plant this. See, this Word, as we read it, is planted into our bodies. And it builds our faith and realize that God has not changed. He's still the same today, is he not, Daryl? He's the same today and tomorrow, the next day. He'll never change.
Amen.
His word's still the same. But he's looking for some people. He's looking for people to grab a hold of this word, and let the faith grow more and more, and speak this word out to be that light on the hillside. That's what he wants us to be, that light on the hillside to draw people to him in the days that we are in. There's, oh man, look at your life. And man, look at what you're going through. And look what you're doing. You're praising him. You're speaking the word of God. I want that. Because people are sick and tired of artificial measures of safety. See? Because you drank water. Amen. Flushing things out. Amen. But people, they're getting to the point where they're tired of hearing stimulus talk that's coming out from the Bible. We need this, and you and I both need it. Need it like never before. But he says, he tells you, each one of us here, listen, my word will not come back to me, Vicky. It's not coming back to me void. If you speak that word out, it will do exactly what it purposes to do. All we have to do is return the word to him in faith and let him take it from there. You know, I have faith today that my road is going to be plowed. Okay? I have faith today that my taxes I pay for the plows is going to take place today. Okay? I might have to sit here and wait till I see it fulfill, but it will take place. And we need that with the word of God. You know, and Kenny, we were talking about it earlier, but you know, under the blood of Jesus, man, you're walking good, not being sick. It's very important for each of us to have a prayer partner. Someone that we can pray with in agreement. And folks might say, well, yeah, I don't have anybody, but I'm going to tell you, you do. That is Jesus. Isn't that awesome? When you're there and when you're praying and you're praying his word, speaking the word out, he's already in agreement with you. Now, who can you get greater in agreement with you than Jesus himself? Amen. That's awesome. No, he won't, you know. And that's what I love about the Holy Spirit, you know. The Holy Spirit even prayed through us in areas that we have no idea. It's an awesome thing, you know. The Bible says to pray in the Spirit. Now, that's prayer language, you know. But also, the Spirit of God will move on to pray in English. Or, you know what I'm saying? So when you say pray through the Spirit, he'll bring to your mind who to pray for. And you might pray for it in the understandable tongue, or you might pray in your prayer language, but still the Holy Spirit moving upon you to pray. Penny prayed for the youngster. God's word went out, it didn't come back void. In line, she was in need. God spoke to the person. The person behind her might not even be a Christian. But they had compassion. God gave it to her, to them. And look how blessed you are today. And God got glorified for it. You know what I'm saying? He got glorified the day God was you moving upon somebody's life. And that's where the word of God is. To speak that out, man, to look it out. I just pray that we'll have a desire to spend more time in his word. Yeah, I shared Friday night. I said, but just kind of figure up how many hours maybe a day that you watch TV, you know. And again, like I said, I might get down on TV. But let's say we watch 5 hours of TV a day, okay? Well, then tomorrow, let's spend 5 hours in the Word of God. Boy, I didn't hear no amen at all on that one.
You're shaking your head.
And the whole thing was we were getting at just find a balance there, okay? You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying, well, I got to pray to God for 5 hours. No. Just to find that balance. Recognize maybe there's more time we have available to be in His Word, to be in prayer. And it might be a sacrifice. It might be that as you're getting ready to watch the reruns of the Flintstones, God moves somebody across your spirit to pray for. And you might have to get up and walk away from the TV set and pray. You might consider that a sacrifice. But it's well worth it, amen? It's well worth it to be obedient to His Word. But Isaiah 59:2, we're looking at all this awesome thing that God does. But Isaiah 59, verse 2. Because sometimes, again, we forget that we are here to do our part. God did his part. God doesn't change. And sometimes we get to the point that we can live our life however we want to, expecting everything to be perfect because, well, we believe that God's word is true. And if we believe God's word is true, then we should be the doers of the word, right?
Yep.
Amen. So here's a little part here in Isaiah that even though we're under the blood, is still true to us today. Isaiah 59:2. Oh, verse 1 here. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear." Otherwise, he can reach you and hear you no matter where you're at. Amen? Isn't that an awesome thing? But then verse 2 says this, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so he does not hear." Okay? So otherwise, we're looking at sin in our life can shut down our communication with God. I know we say, "Oh, under the blood." Yes, we are. I'm telling you what, if you sin today, are you still going to heaven? Yes. You're still under the blood. Amen? You get the point and denounce Jesus and have a separation. I think it takes a lot, you know. I hear a lot of things about nasty divorces and stuff. It can be a nasty divorce because you're trying to rip yourself away from God and He keeps coming back to you. Holy Spirit keeps moving upon you and fights for you that you will not step back out in the darkness. It could be a great fight and eventually you could walk away from Him. But His love doesn't stop for us when we sin. Understand that. But the thing what it does, it closes His ears. So if His word doesn't come back to Him void, a spoken word, we want Him to hear, right? We want to return back to Him. So what does sin do in our life? It closes the ears of God. So what do we want to do? Our part is stay under the blood and stay out of sin. Again, we get to the point in our life that, hey, I'm under the blood, I said a prayer, I'm following Jesus. Yeah, I know I shouldn't do this, I'm going to do it anyway. You're shutting down. You're shutting down the Lord from intervening in your life. Again, not saying that you would die and go to hell. Understand that. But why would we want anything in our life that's going to separate us from our Father hearing us? Amen? This is the thing He's bringing out to let us understand. He is a healer. He's an awesome God. He's everything. But our part is to follow Him to recognize that stuff. Because again, it's not just about me. Hey, if I died today in sin, I'd be in heaven. But if I'm in sin today and I pray for you, my prayer ain't going nowhere. You know? And you would leave here today saying, "Wow, yes, yes." Competent, and boom, we didn't go in. We didn't go in agreement together, Bonnie, because I don't have a relationship with God right now because I'm rebellion. Okay? That's why we go back to David. Remember last week we were talking about King David? "Search my heart, Lord, search me, that I'd be like you." You know, David had a heart after God. Was David perfect? No. But what did he do, guys? He repented. Yes. He repented from his sins. I mean, kept that communications open, you know what I'm saying? And that's one area we got to watch out, because what the devil wants to do is get you to the point that you don't repent. Oh, why should I? Why should I repent today? I'll probably do it again tomorrow. I mean, call out the Lord, man. You know, strengthen me how He does it through His word, through one another. Holy Spirit, grow in me more and more. God, forgive me. And then step into the next day or the next day. And having a heart to please God. But sin is just as detrimental today as it was before we got born again, in the fact that it shuts down the ears of God. And then what happened, I think it's a two-way street. After a while, if we stay in sin, we quit hearing from Him. Not that He quit speaking, we quit listening. Some because of guilt, other because we got something else out here from the dark side where we came from, speaking to us, and we started listening more to it. A lot of time it says, "Oh wait, you don't have to do that. God loves you. You're okay where you are." Now, not saying you're losing your salvation, okay? But the Bible does tell us to work out our salvation daily, amen? So there, if you got to work it out daily, otherwise it reminds us who we are in Christ, there's a possibility we could lose it, and we shouldn't have that desire to ever want to have that separation. We see in the scripture here, I think it's in Corinthians. I think. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you got to turn there just for a moment. Just to, you know, scripture to give to us just to encourage us. And again, do I really want to do this? Or do I don't know. It just helps us. But in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 23, and this is known as the communion chapter, or communion verses, and you hear me read it once in a while. What's written here says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks and eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you sleep." And what he's saying is, hey, listen. He's not saying, as I study the scriptures out there, he's not saying, hey, many people who walk with us, they're taking communion unworthy, man, otherwise they're in sin. Many of them died early. He's not saying they died and went to hell, okay? But many of them removed themselves out because of the detriment of sin in their life. So he says, number one, examine ourselves. You know, you're to examine yourself. How do you do it? By the Word of God. Something in your life that's not of the Lord, repent from it, is what he's saying. That's one thing that's awesome about communion. I mean, it should be a daily thing that we check ourselves. But when we have communion, we take a moment and examine, God, there's something in my life. There's sin in my life. And repent from it. Because, again, our heart's desire as believers is not to have sin in our life. That's our desire. Now, we know that's a struggle daily, amen? But it's not to have sin in our life. And we find it, we repent from it. God, forgive me. You know, and turn away from it. It never says to be sorry for your sins. It says turn away from our sins. But we see again what can take place if we allow sin in our life. It blocks the things that God wants to do for us and through us. Amen? Another scripture yet. We'll be there. John chapter 8. In John chapter 5, I'm going to combine these two together. You'll be familiar with them. But we had a gentleman who was outside the synagogue. He had a withered hand. You all remember that. And Jesus healed him. And he went into the temple, came back out, and he found Jesus to talk to him. And Jesus, he gave us instructions to him. A very simple instruction. He said, "Listen, now go. But sin no more. Or something worse may happen to you." Wow, and this is Jesus, the Redeemer, right? He's a sacrifice. He said, okay, I healed you, and I came into your life. I made you whole. But listen, go and don't sin no more, man. Because if you do, something worse will happen to you. Now, who wants to roll the dice on what is going to happen to him next? If that was you, he'd say, hey, listen, I redeemed your sins. Okay, now go. Man, stay out of sin because something worse may happen to you. Well, how bad could it be, I wonder? Daryl called me, hey, Stark, want to go party tonight? Oh, hang on a second. How worse could it be? You know, we'll have a great time at shooting pool probably, you know, and maybe a few drinks and chasing. Nah, never mind. Well, is it worth gambling? So, the minute I was thinking, when Daryl gave his invitation, I was thinking about wild women. I was on the borderline of lusting, was I not? I was already sin. In the eyes of God. No, Daryl, no. He delivered me from everything. I'm not taking a chance. God, forgive me. Woo! So I admitted my sin. I lost the Lord. Forgave me a clean slate. I turned down the temptation. Wow. See, remember, it's in our hearts. If we ever get to the point in our life saying, well, I can't do that because I'm a Christian, we've already sinned, I believe. Because I believe that our hearts wasn't for the Lord. We had a desire not to do that. Bob, I can't go out with you. I go home, the old lady. I'm married now. You know what I'm saying? I just sinned against you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Again, we don't earn our way to heaven. It's free. You're born again, we're born again. But this is some of the stuff and getting to our life and shuts us down. You know, our prayers aren't going anywhere. That light and that fire, that's what rekindles us by back in this Word. And the lady who caught in adultery, remember that? She's going to be put to death. I mean, we can talk about how she got set up and all that. I agree. But she committed a sin that leads to death. But Jesus says, awesomely, the one person who could destroy her for eternity, could kill the body and put her in hell for eternity, that was Jesus. He said, okay, I don't find no fault. He saw her heart. He saw how she got set up. Amen? She was tricked. I mean, but you can't commit adultery by yourself. Okay? He saw how she got tricked into it. And she saw the heart. And he said, now listen, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. And what an awesome thing that is, folks, is that how many of you ever been tricked up by the devil? How many have you failed to the lies of the devil coming through some slick talker, okay? And you've been born again to some slick talker. But then your heart says, oh God, I did this to you. God sees your heart. He sees your heart. And you cry, oh God, forgive me. He wants it because he hates the devil. And you found that same that lady, she got tricked by the devil. Put it that way. He's working through them. But the same thing goes to you and I. Yeah, I don't condemn you, Jesus says. But go, but man, don't sin no more. I bet you that lady did not go back around them guys again. Amen? Okay, and then I believe that's a direction for us that, man, we've delivered from it. Well, we don't go back around the same people. Amen? Because we don't want to, because go and sin no more. He did not say, go and please don't sin no more. He said, go and sin no more. And I believe her heart was the point that made she was. I mean, I don't know what happened to her. I wish we had more history books and that kind of stuff, you know. But I know she probably celebrated her new life. And wow. I believe as long as she stayed close to other believers, amen, she'd be encouraged that way. Folks, have you ever get to the point that the fire is dying inside of you, and your heart yearns to be back where it used to be? Just get back in the Word of God. Amen? If you got to confess to Him some stuff you've done, He already knows it. Confess it to Him. It just makes Him, He rejoices when you come to Him. Hey, Lord, I've sinned. Forgive me. Man, He wants to be back on fire with you also. No matter how far you fell, He's there to lift you back up again. Okay? And same with our brothers and sisters. No matter how far they fell, they're restorable. Amen? Amen? And that's our prayers of intercession for our brothers and sisters. They don't go back void. God's spoken word doesn't go back void. And when He says, hey, listen, the works I started in you, I will complete it till I return. So when you're praying for yourself, God, I know. You said, when you deposit in me, man, you're going to complete the work you've done in me till you return. I'm not giving up. And you have a brother or sister that's fallen. Same way I intercede today for John Doe, and I'm telling you right now, God, the work that you started him, I know you said that you will not give up on him and it will be completed. So I just bind the enemy today from his lies and deception coming around my friend or my family member. I bind that spirit that's deceiving them. And I speak wholeness into their life. And Father, send someone across their path that can minister to them, that they'll receive it again and be on fire for you. Because sometimes people won't receive it from us, amen? That's okay. God will send people across our path to minister to. But if we intercede and we pray and speak His word back, we allow Him to be involved in that situation. And that person returned. I'm telling you what, I know a lot of people have fallen away from the Lord or really got burnt out, not kindling the fire. And when they come back, they're coming back like 100 times more powerful. You don't know what you've got until it's gone, right? And so we all can be kind of balled down to the point and realize, man, I lost something. Boom. That's all right. God's still there. He's ready to rekindle you and put you back up on that path He's told you to do. And His calling on your life, it doesn't void. It's still the same. It is still the same today. So, amen. Any questions, comments today? The main thing is be encouraged, folks, but just let them know that His word is true. But we need to absorb the whole word in order to be all we can be for Him. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you, Lord, that you haven't given up on us. We thank you, Lord, that more and more your word is coming alive to us as we search you out. Lord, we just pray today, Father, the word spoken today is help us light that fire again to be more and more instead of a flame to be a fire. And just being a boost to be a mountainside, that we're continuing to grow for you, Lord. We thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, we just say this morning, search our hearts today, Father God. Search our hearts. Our desire today is to be more like you. Forgive us of our sins and our trespasses. Thank you that we're under the blood. We thank you, Father God, that you bring back to our remembrance your word that helps us fight the attacks of the enemy. But God, we do also, we ask you to continue to show us our strengths through you and the weaknesses that we still have that you can strengthen. That will be all that you called us to be, Lord. And God, we pray for our nation today. We pray for our leadership. Father, we pray for those that have authority over us. God, we pray for the safety. We pray for the health. And we pray, Father God, that they would come to know you if they don't as Savior and Lord. We pray for those today, God, who are doing evil, that they be removed from the areas to inflict that evil upon other people, God, that they be neutralized. We pray today, God, for justice to be rendered, but also, God, that mercy would be applied. That your heart for each one of us is that not one of us would perish. So help us, God, to live a life that shines your light, that draws people to you, and their lives can be changed, Lord. We pray for those on the road today as we travel home. Lord, we declare that we have traveling mercies. Your angel has been around us to keep us safe. We pray for those who are out on the roads right now, Lord, plowing away and clearing. We just speak safety over them. We speak a hedge of protection around our children and our children's children's children. And we declare your word is true, that healing is part of our DNA. And we continue to lift up Bob Clark today and for Maggie and for John Kimberly and Edie, and for others upon our heart right now to speak it out, with Sister Penny Recovers and Rick. Anyone else have anyone else lift up today? Yes. And for Dave Parish Recovery, Father God. And yes, Lord, yes, yes. Touch that body, Father, in the name of Yeshua. That the blood will flow, will return again, be no lasting effects from that stroke, Father. Thank you for touching Pastor Mark. Thank you for strengthening him, Lord Jesus. And we just pray for every pastor in the pulpits today in the coming weeks and months, God, to continue to hear your voice and speak your word out. And Father, for each one of us here, Father, if you called us into your light, to be into your life to be your light, may we hear clearly of you. May we understand more of the tricks of the enemy, and that you lead us away from the temptation that he brings to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good.